T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Today's episode is brought to you by DraftKings. Use promo code KIRK and play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code KIRK at DraftKings.com. All right, the guest this week is Chad Finn. He's the media critic or columnist or whatever you want to call it for the Boston Globe. He's had some battles with EI in the past, a lot of personalities, a lot of back and forth. So we brought him in. I'm surprised he did it. Came in, he answered all the questions, went back and forth for, I think, over an hour. So here it is, Chad Finn of the Boston Globe on Enough About Me. So I figured we'd start with, so I looked at your chat last Friday and went over it, and you addressed, first of all, I have to think that almost all the questions you get are about me. I would think, right?
I heard you say that on, I think, a previous podcast.
I mean, it has to be true.
It's probably about 40%, no shit.
40%, really? Yeah. What's left to fucking know about it? Everything's been said and done. It's all the same questions, isn't it?
Yeah, the other 40% is should John Farrell be fired?
Yes.
So, yeah. There's
yes.
only so many things you can ask, but the thing that gets me is it really is a higher percentage than probably all the other shows on both stations put
right.
together. And I get good readership on that thing. I get 300 questions, probably 2,000 page views on average, and it's constantly about whatever is going on with you guys.
Because our show has drama. The other shows, the ships are pretty, like, you know, appear to be smooth.
Yeah, that's it, especially at the other station.
We kind of lay it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I get it, too, with, you know, before Glenn took over the middays, you know,
right.
who's going to be there? All the, you know.
But so I read it, and I read that you were pissed at me and Jerry about the way we handled Andrew Mahoney, and people, a lot of people listening to podcasts might be saying, who's Andrew Mahoney? So I'll lay it out quick.
Right.
So I'm going to say a week ago, we're taping this on Wednesday, maybe a week ago, or maybe I guess it would be the day before. We had Garoppolo on. We did the interview. We have Garoppolo on every week before he got hurt.
So it's Monday morning, right?
Yeah, Monday morning. So we probably posted it Monday afternoon. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
After the interview, Monday or Tuesday or whatever. He wrote that Jimmy Garoppolo was on a morning show and said whatever the hell he said in the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't give us credit, didn't name the show, which they normally do. The Globe didn't do forever. We broke their balls about it.
Yeah, I used to do that.
Right. So I read the story. In reading it, I was like, there's a reason why this motherfucker is not naming our show. No question in my mind, none. So I go to at Andrew Mahoney. I encourage the podcast listeners to go there and give him shit. And I looked at all the people he follows, and of course he followed every single 98.5 personality all the way down to the guy who left Touch and Rich the morning guy, Adolfo, to producers and Mike Thomas and every on-air guy. Not a single
Twitter?
Yeah.
Not Facebook friends, Twitter?
Well, I'll get to Facebook in a second. And not a single EEI guy.
Uh-huh.
Not one. Which, if you like 98.5 better than EEI, good for you. Good. Listen all day. I don't give a fuck. But I really don't. But then I went to
You do a little.
I really don't. I really don't. I have plenty of people who listen. Things are great.
A little bit.
So no. I know you like 98.5 better. It's okay. So then
all right, Jerry.
I went to the Facebook page and found out, and this is totally true, I swear on the life of my kids, he is a member of the 98.5 ski squad. Now, let's be fair about this.
You're not going to be fair about it, though.
Well, would you say that he prefers 98.5 to WEI? Would you say the evidence is fair to at least make that statement?
I would say your personal research probably indicates that.
Were he to go on, were Jimmy Garoppolo to go on Touch and Rich, or Tom Brady, like Tom Brady went on Touch and Rich, I have a feeling that Andrew Mahoney would credit Touch and Rich program by name in this story. Is this petty? Yes. Is this what we do? Yes.
But you want
this
the facts?
Well, have I said anything that's not true so far?
You said things that I don't know to be true. I mean, they could be.
Well, we could print them out and hand them to you.
Here's what happened. Well, first of all, I used to do this.
Right.
Steve Silva, who sat next to me and would sometimes talk to you guys about things that I said.
I used to do this.
Bit of a mole.
EI.com.
Right. There were times I forgot to do it. There were times Steve forgot to do it, who really, really likes you guys. I think if you search for his stuff, you would find that
he likes us. Yeah,
he does. You know,
right.
Like really, Jerry and Dino are his guys.
Right.
And It was an oversight. He had a meeting at 9:30. He got in at work at 9:30.
Come on.
Had a meeting at 11. It's the truth, though. And
it's an oversight?
Linked out
so
to
he
you
called
guys.
A, so he called it a morning show?
Yeah, but he linked out to the site. Isn't that a bigger deal?
Isn't it? But would you – who assigns that?
Probably the online sports editor. I mean, it's a standard thing.
Who's
We've been
that?
Doing it for 8 to 10 years. Matt Pepin.
Okay. Wouldn't you
– Who doesn't care at all about you guys
okay.
or the other station?
But – Like, well, you can understand why we'd have some natural suspicion, given that, you know, you go over everything. There's not a single person on our station he follows on Twitter, which I have to be honest, and I'm not saying this is an ego thing, isn't to follow me. It's a little weird if you're a Boston Globe sports editor or whatever you are, and you're active in Boston on Twitter, and you don't follow anybody from the station.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Forget me or Jerry or Lou or Glenn or Michael or isn't that strange?
Yeah,
from a curiosity perspective, isn't
surprising.
That weird? I mean,
yeah.
I'd want some balance anyway. I'd like to follow people I don't like anyway.
Right.
And he goes to fucking Adatash with, you know, Bob Soshi and, you know, fucking Adam Jones.
Oh, is that what happened?
Well,
is
he's
that
a
exactly
member,
what
he's
they're...
a member. What is the 98.5 Ski Squad?
That's a Facebook thing, right?
Yes. What you do is you go, and I talked to somebody who's on the air at 98.5 about this. I won't say who he is. I'll just say he used to play quarterback for the Patriots and leave it at that. And he said.
Is he black?
That, yes, no, he's not. He played for the Patriots. He's not black. They don't have black guys play quarterback. And he said it was that, is that you would go and you'd get whatever. You get fucking three passes for whatever. At three. So you do it through 98.5. You get to go to Sunday River and whatever for $70 instead of $90.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But he doesn't ski.
But when you went up there, but why did he join it then?
Because a sales friend of his over there.
A sales friend over at 98.5.
Yeah.
Okay, one of his sales friends at 98.5. Made a deal with him.
You
so
think that's
a
big
bucks.
Thing?
Well, I think he has a clear 98.5 bias.
Well,
that's should. Obvious. That's obvious. You know that's obvious.
But that has nothing to do with just mentioning you guys. Silva did that. Silva has a WEI bias, and it happened with him, right?
Well, I don't know. Did he credit? I mean, if they guys were on touch orange, should he not credit them? He should have. If he didn't,
I don't
then
know
that's,
if we ever actually wrote them up.
But if he didn't, but my point is, if he didn't, he should have. That's
right.
Wrong. You
but anyway, what it was a sales friend sending it along. You know how things come up that you like on Facebook? Clicked like on it. I mean, this is how he explained it to me.
Okay, so you don't know if it's true or not.
I believe him. I have no reason not to. I mean, he's a guy who's been there longer than I have.
And
he's
so
a,
you said you wrote pissed. What were you pissed about?
Because
why shouldn't we be pissed about that?
Because
you look
a,
at that.
It's a really minor oversight of a thing. Don't you think?
No.
I mean, you're
no,
really mad about this? Because you look mad about it.
I'm not mad about it. I'm
you
mad
look
about
mad.
It. I'm mad about it like I get mad about things. I'm mad about it because it speaks to sort of a larger bias that we think the Globe has against
right.
the
Right. This is the kind of thing.
Which has been going on since you and I were fucking teenagers or whatever. Or you know, early 20s, whatever it is. Way, way, way back in the day with Glenn and John and Jerry. And we feel like it's continued forever. And this is another example, by the way, that was, to me, at its peak, was not even that. Its peak was Callum Borchers, which was fucking
right.
I mean, how he had a job that day, the next day, is unbelievable to me. And again, I'll run through it real quick. People who listen to our show and we've talked about it enough know he wrote a story about how 98.5 was beating EEI in the ratings. Fact. I mean, that was, mm-hmm. it was true at the time. I don't think we could dispute that. And picked and basically built his story around talking to a couple of men on the street who turned out to be friends of his, who
right.
turned out to be 98.5 fans. My argument is, A, it's just fucking lazy. You could go somewhere and find two people like 98.5, two random people. Wouldn't be hard to do.
It's lazy. B, it's unethical.
Yeah, how do you still have a job?
There.
I mean, how does he have a job the next day? So from our perspective, can't you see if you're us, right? You're sitting
right.
there and you read that story. Aren't you thinking, well, these fucking guys don't care. Mm. They're obviously out to get us.
Yeah, but I think you also...
And by the way, he was an intern for John and Jerry and
right.
never acknowledged it. And I could tell you, if he's an intern for John and Jerry, he probably hated those guys. I am 1,000% confident in that. So
yeah.
there's about 40 layers of bias within that. That was 3 years ago, give or take, 2 or 3, 4 years, whatever. That's the kind of thing where that happens every so often. And we're like, well, what's the fucking point? The Globe hates us. And that's and by the way, sometimes that's not the worst thing. Like mm-hmm. Callum Borchers was kind of good for us. But it's... That was crazy. And unethical is right and fireable, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Jerry talks about him being fired, and that's not what happened. He left for a better job at the Washington
Post.
Yeah.
Right.
He left on his own accord a couple years later.
He's been running into some other trouble there. He did some shit with the Post a few months ago that got sort of viral. But my point is,
I haven't
what did you
him.
Think of that? I mean, first of all, why didn't you write that story?
Well, I want to have my say on Andy first.
Who?
Mahoney.
Oh.
Because... I mean, that's what happened with him, was that he liked something somebody sent him on Facebook, and that was it. And I understand if you have, you know, you say he doesn't follow EEI people. I don't care if
Andrew Mahoney follows me on Twitter.
I'd question that too. But
that's strange.
You know,
right?
It's a really harmless thing. There are different levels of stuff. And what you guys sometimes do is apply sort of a mass the Globe hates us thing to everything. You do it to me. I've been accused of doing the things that Callum Borchers did by you guys.
And when? Give me an example.
Well, I don't know. I don't write the dates down.
I mean, you must have something in mind.
Yeah, I mean, whatever he wrote in that story, my name was applied to it. You know what I mean?
To which?
The one story that he wrote.
The Borchers story?
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you write that story?
I didn't want to write that story.
Why not?
First of all.
What, were you offered that story and said no?
No. It popped up from, I think, a business editor.
Right.
That story, first of all, was all stuff that I've written. It was a rehash of things, the factually correct stuff, was a rehash of things I'd written for 3 years, maybe.
Right.
If I recall correctly, the ratings on that went back to 2010. I've been on the beat since 2009, mm-hmm. somewhere around there. I wrote about you guys getting overtaken by 98.5 in the ratings, or, you know, various things like that. I think the only thing new he had maybe was like something about ad revenue.
But he was wrong. But he admitted,
well, that too.
Yeah, but, I mean, he said that 98.5 had gone up in their ad revenue. It might be true, without leaving out the fact that it's a fact now is that the morning show bills twice as much as the other morning show. And he said on the air that he wasn't writing a novel. He didn't have,
yeah.
I still can't believe the fucking guy came on the next day. That was the most amazing thing, is he came on and got slapped around. But he left stuff out. And that's where distrust is built, I mm-hmm. think. And I mean, you're right. I'm sure we criticize the Globe for things that maybe they didn't do wrong. I don't know.
But yeah, that's, the stuff I write.
But that's where the distrust is built, though. And that's where I feel like there's no coming back from.
Right. But you guys would go after me if you could. I've been doing this for 8 years, something like that. And if I did something factually incorrect, you'd have a field day.
Well, shouldn't we?
Yeah, but you can't. That's the thing.
Maybe that's true. I doubt it. But I have had a long-held belief. Not a long-held belief. I know for a fact there's been a bias from the Globe against WEI. That's a fact. But let's first get to DraftKings.com. At DraftKings.com, you don't have to come in first place to cash in. The player who finished 800th in week one took home $100. $100 for 800th place. This weekend, DraftKings is hosting another huge fantasy contest with over $1 million in total prizes up for grabs. It's the destination. We know this. For 1 week fantasy football, I know all you guys and girls listening play fantasy football, so go to DraftKings. It makes sense. 1 week fantasy means no season-long commitments, so you're not in trouble if you have a bad week. Just pick your contest, draft your team, follow the action live. Go to DraftKings.com right now. Choose your players for this weekend's contest. For listeners of my podcast, you guys, help me out here. Help yourselves out. Enter promo code Kirk, K-I-R-K. Play for free with your first deposit. That's promo code Kirk, K-I-R-K, to play free. For your share of over $1 million in total prizes, DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Here's the criticism I would have for you is that, and I think you've acknowledged this before in chats and stuff, is that you will not criticize fellow Globe guys on the radio because of your coworkers.
Oh, no. Not fellow Globe guys on the radio. Fellow Globe guys I work with for what they write. I mean, who are you talking about? Like Gasper or Shaughnessy?
Well, you're way more critical now of Maserati than you were when he was at Boston.com.
Yeah, we only worked together for like a year, though.
Yeah, but you weren't critical of him when you were at Boston.com.
That's a Herald guy. Come on. He's Jerry's guy.
Yeah, but you worked together with him.
Yeah, we did 10.0 once in a while. But
you were a coworker. So
fundamentally, though, me and Maz have really never agreed on anything. And I think if you're familiar with both of us, as you are, you know
right.
that.
Right. Right. But would you say you're more critical of Maserati now than when you worked with him?
But Chris Gasper, only starting out with the radio then.
Do you think Chris Gasper is a good radio personality?
I like Gasper on the radio.
You don't?
I think you guys should give him a tryout.
Not really. We can. He's at 98.5.
You got some people you're talking to, don't you?
We're talking some people.
Is that Keith Hardy?
Heidi
Watney?
You heard about Heidi Watney, too?
Yeah, I was out there.
Yeah, I don't think we're talking to her.
That's
the knock, is that you have been on the record, said you will not be critical of Globe guys. That's not true?
Covering the newspaper. Not the radio, not television, whatever. But no, is anybody in a prominent role? I mean, I write.
Well, I mean, Maserati was writing for Boston.com and co-hosting the afternoon drive show. That's fairly
for about
prominent.
A year of overlap, but you know that show.
That's a long time.
What was the state of that show when I was covering? When
I have no idea.
Stung?
I'm sure it was doing very well.
I can tell you,
I'm sure it was doing well.
It blew past the big show
right.
Within a year
right.
of the ratings. it felt like something new at the time. I don't think Maz was quite the troll then that he is now. He was always kind of that way as a beat writer, I guess. So,
but yeah, I don't think he's got
it's
any...
it's extreme now. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, do you
Maserati?
Listen to it?
I listen to both stations. I think I gotta be honest. I find Felger's a good host. I find Maserati unlistenable now. I think he's a parody when I
let me ask you this. In the baseball term, replacement level is met. Could they plug in anybody?
Yes.
Gasper.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Who's
I,
Christian Arcand?
I think
Giardi.
No. I don't know.
Would
it
be
know.
A better show?
Yeah, I think there's sort of a familiar feel to it now, and I guess they get along in this sort of a thing. But
you think so?
I listen to the show. I don't hear a lot of laughs. I hear Felger talk. He rants. Maserati is fucking gibberish. Felger basically ignores him, goes on another rant. Jim Murray says something. They take a couple of calls. They take calls from – it was a show that started out by saying, we're not going to have any celebrity callers. They take like four or five celebrity callers in a row. Then they go to a break. It's working. So what do I know? But
that's
what I hear. I find Maserati to be fucking – I think of everybody who's on the air every day from 6A to 6P on both stations, other than – yeah, I'd say Maserati's the worst.
I don't see anybody on both shows?
From 6A
full-time?
To 6P. Full time, I think.
Counting Thornton?
No. No, yes. I'd say Thornton has the ability to have a conversation and string sentences together. Maserati, I'll listen. They'll have like Greg Bedard on, who, you know, again, is for me, it's not listenable radio. They'll do their thing back
it's pretty
and forth.
Mellow.
And they'll go, they'll do like question four. Who's the biggest diva receiver in the NFL? And Felger will say somebody, and Greg will say somebody. And then Maserati will say, but back up, he sucks. And I'm like, well, anything else? Fucking anything else?
Yep.
But why am I not getting, you know, on Friday, why am I not getting 2,000 words from you on that? Do you disagree with that?
Because I get 800 words, first of all.
Okay, fine, whatever. But, why can't I get 800 words on what happened to Tony Maserati? Why does he suck? Why is he a buffoon?
What happened to him?
Why is he a laughing stock? When you listened to him 20 years ago, he had a little more thought than this.
He was different on the big show. Because there were two people Glenn let talk. Sean McAdam and Maz.
Right.
In terms of talking about
sports. Don't you think at some point Maserati has embraced this sort of boobdom? I mean, do you think that this is really... I know Maserati a little bit. You know him better than I do. You guys were coworkers for a long time.
How long?
Do you think... A year's long enough for me. You could write a guy sucks. Do you think that he has embraced this sort of idiocy?
Yeah, it's lucrative.
I think you all do it
to some degree, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't sit there and just do dumb stuff time after time after time. Occasionally I do.
I'm a little more
thoughtful than that.
Yeah, he's a cartoon character.
He's a parody at this point.
He is. So why don't the ratings suffer?
I think there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one,
Felger's great. He's really good at what he does. You and Felger are the two people in the market who mix in a curveball once in a while. Again, for a baseball analogy.
But Felger does a lot of. Felger doesn't go outside of sports. There's a circle for Felger.
Right. Yeah.
He does none of that.
Candid man talk. Whatever you call it.
I feel like that show is it's fucking working. But I feel like that show is you get the same thing every single day. It's fine. They're doing a good job. Good for them.
Yeah.
But I think Maserati to me is a buffoon, and I think you feel that way too. And I know you felt that way while you were working together. And I don't know. Maybe you thought it'd be uncomfortable if you saw him.
We didn't really work together. He never came. I barely know Maz, really. I mean, he would come into the office to do, those little 10.0 hits. We'd do those for 10 minutes with Alan Miller. You guys know him. He used to be the video guy. And he'd be gone. I mean, you know him better than I do.
Who, Tony?
Yeah, I think so.
I know him a little bit.
I mean, he doesn't do Comcast, right?
Nah, I don't know him that well. I mean, whatever. But how about Shaughnessy? You think Shaughnessy's good on the radio?
I do. Yeah.
You think Shaughnessy's good on the radio?
I do. Not as a host. He's not polished, you know, when he fills in for Maz. But
I think
people realize he's a little bit different than the guy they read in the column. And I think they like that. And, you know, he's not a host. He's not doing 4 hours or 20 hours a week. But you put him on there for an hour like Zoe and Beetle will do today for an hour. It's good.
Anybody at the Globe who's not good on the radio?
Who else
good?
Is on?
Gasper's on. DuPont's been on.
DuPont? Nah. Not my thing on the radio, but I can't remember hearing him on the radio.
Maserati was there. He was on.
Maz is a Herald guy. Give me a break with
your
browbeating.
The point is, I do believe that the Globe in 98.5, I should say, wisely said, we're going to take some Globe guys, Gasper and Dan and Tony and DuPont.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Boston.com guys. Put them on, and there will be some level of protection.
Who are your first four guests on this thing?
Portnoy.
Yep.
Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know. Who are the next two?
Dan?
No idea. Dan. Dan was my second guest.
Jackie. Okay, that's two Globe people, right?
Well, Jackie's not the Globe, but yeah.
Dan and Bob. I mean, Emeritus,
Bob's
what do you
really
say?
The Globe.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
But
that's all anybody associates him with.
Right.
They look at him and say, oh, Comcast,
but
Bob
what's your
Ryan.
Point,
no,
though? But I went on and went back and forth with them. Shaughnessy and I are not friends.
I'm saying they're Globe personality. But, right, but you had value into putting them on. You
sure.
People are going to listen to it. And it's the same thing with having them on for an hour on Wednesdays with Zoe and Bertrand, right? I mean, the Globe is a prominent media outlet with people who've been prominent in this market for decades, and there's you're trying to establish a podcast. You bring on the people, the big names. That's three of them right there. I know Jackie's ESPN, but they I think she's still associated with the Globe to some degree.
I got to circle back, so I'm going to forget to do this. You got to tell me once more why you're pissed at me and Jerry about little Andy Mahoney, who we made fun, who we made fun of.
I actually want to circle back to Cal Borchers because he's a behind-the-scenes guy.
Tough
it's
shit.
Like
he
me
wrote,
going
he,
at Ben.
He wrote the story.
He's doing his job.
Yeah,
you know?
But he didn't do his job.
What? Which was what?
I think
mention you guys by name?
You should.
You called the show Dennis and Callahan today. He
yeah,
knows
well,
the show better than
well,
you do.
That looms over me. That's why. Because,
it's going to haunt you forever.
Because you know why. You know exactly why.
Nah,
when you look at somebody's fucking
some
Twitter followers,
thing.
And it's all 985 people,
yeah.
And the guy fucking is 985 ski team, and he writes for the Globe, the same place that Callum Borchers, there is natural distrust. That is simple.
Yeah,
same place that Shalise Manson Young wouldn't credit us. The same old shit.
Shalise didn't do that?
No.
Well, see, that was petty.
Over and over and over and over and over again. And over again.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, listen, is it as important as fucking, you know, cancer research? No. But in our little world, it's important. And when we see somebody write that, we're like, okay, well, obviously they're saying fuck you to us.
No,
so
you get a couple days of mileage out of it. It's a small.
You got one segment out
of it.
It's
a small. No, you guys talked about multiple days.
We did one good segment
out
of it. It was funny, and we crapped on him, and it was good.
Yeah, you sicked your Twitter people on him. Who,
did he take a beating?
He took a beating.
Good.
He got some. You like to mention Brandy Love. He got some of that sort of
did
thing.
He?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, no Lexington Steel,
he didn't get any
though.
Death threats, did he? Was he worried about his life, like Callum Borchers?
Did he?
Yeah.
No, I'm
but he
not
wasn't
sure
prepared
that.
For
but,
it.
You know, he's
he
a
was
behind
upset.
The scenes guy. He was
good. The next
I
time,
think taken aback.
And if he does
scrambling
it again,
at work, left your name out, put the
next
link
time
in.
We put our name in.
I'm sure Rob Bradford was really happy to have the link rather than your name, right? A little traffic to the site.
I don't care about him. Next time he writes a story, is he going to put our name in it?
You have to ask him that.
Do you think
I might just go
we tried to get him on?
I might
go
come
on.
Take it out.
Why wouldn't he come on?
I don't know why you get hung up on like the who likes who thing like on social media, though. I mean,
well, it shows that he's a fan of 98.5.
Yeah, you like me on Facebook.
I do?
Yeah, you do.
On Facebook?
Yeah, you do.
Do I really?
Yeah.
I gotta look that up. There you go. I'm a fan of yours on Facebook.
I hope Jerry heard that.
Yeah, well, I can edit this out just like that. Do I really? Well, there you go. But my guess is like on Twitter, I follow you. I follow Tony Maserati. I follow Christian Fourier.
Yeah.
I follow whoever the fuck. I used to follow Touch and Rich before they blocked me. I follow.
Who else has blocked you?
Not everybody. I follow Bertrand. I follow you. You follow both sides. If you looked at my Twitter account, if I was just some random guy, and you saw that I followed Jerry Callahan, Kirk Minahan, John Dennis, Chris Curtis.
Yeah, but you're not some random guy. You work in the industry.
But 6 or 7 years ago, I was.
It benefits you to follow them. Or it makes sense for you to
follow
them.
But when I was doing what he was doing effectively for our website, I follow people from both stations.
Yeah.
When you do that, you are saying, I'm a fan of that station. And I don't believe that he just randomly got, oh, 98.5. My sales friend at 98.5 said, you know, you joined the ski team. Oh, okay.
Well, that's how he explained it to me.
But there's a clear bias. You must know that that's a bias. If you like all one side, you don't like the other, and you're assigned to write about the show, and you leave the name of the show out, you are.
You really think you left the name out deliberately?
Yes, absolutely
he did.
And it's not even that big a deal, but why wouldn't he just admit it?
He didn't. That's
why.
Why would you admit something you didn't do on purpose?
And what are you pissed about?
Do you admit things you do on purpose?
Sometimes,
because
yeah. I apologize for things all the time.
I
get in trouble for apologizing.
I said pissed because he's a behind-the-scenes guy who does some – let me explain
shit.
It because you've interrupted me every time I've tried to explain
God, please,
it.
Please.
I will. Yours. He's a behind-the-scenes guy. I think the guy cited was Jerry Spar. I don't know if he still works
here,
but
he
did a lot of the sort of grunt work there.
Jerry's the editor.
He's
great.
Been there forever. He doesn't want to take or want to be a person who has a public, I don't know, impression, face like Shaughnessy does. He gets crap. Doopy does.
Sure.
He gets crap. I do to some degree, less than those guys, but it comes with the business. He's a guy who's there writing up the news of the day, wants to be low-key, didn't mean anything by it, was just rushed that day, and it turned into this big shitstorm that...
It wasn't that
he
big
wasn't
a
planning
it wasn't
for
that big
it
a
was
storm.
He got
that
bombarded.
Big a shit storm.
Yeah, the phone didn't stop ringing at work. you know what he was? He was your pre-Bart.
He was
your warm up for what happened with Bart yesterday.
He was.
Except you didn't have Katie Nolan helping you out.
That's true. Thank God for Katie Nolan, who you described in the Globe as fearless and brave because she takes on people.
Is that what
like,
that comes from?
Because people, I don't know. I think it was you. Didn't you write that magazine profile?
I did.
Because she takes on people like Roger Goodell,
bought me a new
Bart
couch
Hubick,
that.
And Greg Hardy. Is that brave?
Ray Rice, Peter King, Rick
Riley. These are not.
Did I use the word brave?
These are. I think you did.
The only time I've heard brave is my boss describing Shaughnessy that way.
Oh,
that,
God.
That's where that
Do
always
you want to vomit
up.
When Joe Sullivan talks about Shaughnessy like he's the greatest person ever
you
lived?
You like Dan.
I like the Dan's around. We don't get along great, but I like he's around.
He's
I don't
good
want,
for business.
I don't want him gone. I definitely don't want him gone.
Yeah. Did he call for you to get fired? I knew
no,
DuPont did.
DuPont did.
What's your
he's
issue
a
with
Dan? Motherfucker. My issue with Dan is that we've had a couple of issues over the years. During the Aaron Andrews thing, he tweeted out something, a couple of stories that, like, without comment, like a Washington Post story about what an asshole.
Oh, yeah, right.
Some other story. For me, without comment means...
The retweet.
To me, that's... Yeah, that.
And, I remember now.
And he did the Hubick thing, the video. Like, right away, he was all fired up. And then when I confront Dan about it, he acts like he doesn't know how to use the internet.
Yeah.
Then the next thing I know, he's tweeting out, you know, make sure you vote the Globies, hashtag fucking whatever. So it's got to be one or the other.
Yeah, I think that's the Andy Mahoney's actually driving.
Does it for Dan?
Pepin.
But Dan,
no,
but
no,
Dan,
not doing it.
But Dan
send
can tweet
hey,
out pictures
this.
And he can do, like, he knows.
I think
how
his son used to run his account.
He knows how to do Twitter now, though. He clearly
he's
does.
He's got it, yeah.
And that, to me, was, and to Dan's credit, like Peter King, you know, same thing. Dan came on here and we went back and forth. It was actually down in Florida. We did the podcast. We went back and forth and he took it. And I know Dan enjoys it. He fucking loves it. He loves it.
What?
He loves coming on here and battling with it. Like, he doesn't, you know, we might not like each other, but he likes the fact that we can go on and fight about
it. I did hear he enjoyed coming on.
And he got in trouble.
He didn't tell me that.
He got in trouble with 98.5 for it. I mean, they didn't want him to come on, and he came on, and he did it. Because I also think Dan didn't like getting the shit kicked out of him every day. And you know what? He came on the air, and I don't beat him up as much anymore. So he played it right.
It's a radio version of going in the clubhouse after you, shit on Pedroia or whatever.
I mean, do you think he's, when Dan's gone... He's that when he walks out the door, that's over. There's no we
that
talk
era
about,
of journalists.
Yeah,
you guys do talk about it all the time, and
probably
I,
too much. But I mean, you know, you need an asshole.
Yeah, and
you know, the young assholes are not around.
Is it one?
What's young?
Geez, in this business, mid 40s, because that's where I am.
Who writes?
What are you? 41?
I'm 41. I would probably qualify.
You're young.
I don't write. You know, I.
You do periodically.
Nah,
this occasional rip of Phil Simms and then
occasionally,
that sort of peters out.
I used to look at these guys and when they, you know, left writing to do radio, I'd say, geez, why would you stop writing? Now I understand it's fucking much easier to talk than to write. Much easier.
Yeah.
Much, much easier.
From what I get, it pays better, too.
It does pay a little better.
Depending on the time of the day.
It does pay a little better. The pay is not bad sometimes. So when you write one every
How many times have you redone your deal since February 2013? Or you got some Dino money?
I think
whatever
three,
coins he left
three,
behind.
Two or three times. It's
good for
fine.
You.
Things are fine. I'm making a living, rubbing nickels together to make dimes.
Good.
This podcast is not about me. It's about you.
It's always about you.
If you have your own podcast, I'll come on anytime you'd like. I mean, you came on here, I will reciprocate. Jerry probably will, too.
I'd love to have one.
Why don't you?
Everybody, I don't know how to run it myself. We don't have a young Ben.
Nobody at the Globe
there.
Can do it.
What do? We do Alex Spears.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Adam Himmelsbach covers the Celtics, does it by himself.
Yeah.
You can hear, like, he did one over at Bob Ryan's house because you always get Bob Ryan early on when you're starting off a podcast.
Of course, you have
to. And the maid was vacuuming in the background.
That's
so
good. That's a good listen.
Yeah,
that's a good listen.
I can't do that myself.
So you write a column every Friday for the Globe.
Media
column. My question is always
this. Wish I had more.
My question is always this. Why don't you just write about, like, sports radio every week? It's what people want to read about.
Because I've had this discussion.
Nobody wants to hear about Michelle Tafoya. I'm just giving you a tip. Nobody.
How about Jess Mendoza?
Once in a while. Once in a while. But nobody like you know, I know like...
You guys hang on every word, though. If I write something stupid like that Bob Soucy thing I wrote, the lead that didn't work, you guys got the segment.
You
got
to admit. You got to admit. Soucy was laying on a little thick in that.
Well,
with the stopwatch?
I went for sarcasm. Not really sarcasm. Yeah. Didn't work.
No,
I mean,
it
that was
translate.
On me more than him.
But Bob, like, you know, like, I, like when the season begins, I leave my family. Like, you know, Bob, you call, it's 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
Once a week.
Right. He's looking out the window waiting for football season. Yeah, Bob, I think that's what I wrote,
Bob,
actually.
Yeah, Bob. Bob, not so much.
If I had to rank every column I've ever written, that wouldn't be at the top.
Was the reaction to sports talk radio bigger than the other stuff?
It is. But my bosses have told me, you're covering media, not sports radio entirely. And I think a pretty big percentage of what I write is about you guys. I would like to have more columns a week doing that, and I would like to write about more. I mean, you guys always want everything written about you anyway.
Yes.
You guys hang on every word because the track doesn't help anymore.
The track doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
No, right. We missed the track. But, well, yeah. I would say, like,
someone who knows just
I feel like the Dino,
kind of faded away.
I feel like the Dino stuff was almost underreported.
Yeah, well, I was away that week, too.
Well, was there nobody else that can do it? That's a big
not
story.
Not to the level that I can,
man. A morning show guy, 20 years.
Right.
Retires for health reasons. And, you know, nobody's there to cover
you
it.
You didn't cough there. Give me the air quotes.
I just read when he told Maria. I don't know.
Yeah. Did you see that interview?
Yeah, I've seen a few times.
So Jerry, the passive aggressiveness on the Jerry thing.
Yeah.
He's a good columnist.
There's some issues. Jerry is a good columnist.
He's a great columnist.
The best
columnist
in the city, I think.
You know, I know how Jerry feels about me. He was one of the best columnists Boston's had, in my opinion.
Ever.
I used to buy the Saturday Globe to read his stupidly tight
Herald.
To read the stupidly Callahan Tunnel Vision column.
Oh, right.
You know,
right.
He'd write like...
he's a great writer.
Andy Pettit looks like Jeff Goldblum half morphed into the fly.
Right.
Shit like that.
Right. That was good, though. Jerry's a great writer.
But he's also got a distinguished radio career, 20 years in this business.
Ooh, Jerry or John?
Jerry, and John should acknowledge that. He was here for every hour of it.
Of course. I'll be honest with you. It's been my take all along. I've said it on the air in front of John. Dennis and Callahan worked. Blank and Callahan would have worked.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, to me, was the engine of that show.
I believe
John
that.
John was good. Good host. Did a good job. But if you put somebody else in there, I don't know. Pick a guy from that era. Levanchy.
Right. That's the name I thought of, too.
Sean McDonough. If you've been focused on it. Whoever. Right. Originally, it was going to be Barkan.
Yeah.
With Jerry, it would work. I mean, you know, I think Jerry, my opinion, Jerry's the best sports radio personality in the history of the city. Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
He's in the argument.
I mean, Felger's had a nice run. I understand that. Glenn's run is fucking unbelievable. That'd be my 1A.
Yeah.
Great run. Unbelievable run.
I wish I had covered it when Glenn was in his heyday, because he's told me stuff like they got 17s for ratings. And
yeah.
You know, I never saw him.
Right.
But I totally believe it. I mean, you know, Monday after a Patriots game, the Bud Sawyer, the thing you did, you wanted to hear the big show.
Sure.
You wanted to read Borges, at least
of
in my mind.
Of course.
And see the big show. And
There's... You were critical of Glenn before he was out the first time, though. You were more
yes.
and more critical
the
of Glenn.
The show slipped. I mean, it was 1997. Three people he has on with him are probably Jerry, Jackie, and who? Steve Lyons was on a lot then.
Oh,
LB.
You mean the other two people who would be on with him during the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, you could get Ryan and Jerry. Or
right.
You could get
Dan
Shaughnessy and Jerry.
Checkbook.
Or Dan and Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the talent of the guests started slipping. But here's
you think Larry Johnson, Bill Burton, D'Aussie wasn't the
not great, but I think that's but is that Glenn's fault?
I think they got complacent. That the numbers were great, and he started thinking I can put any crony in here, and it's
well, don't
be
you
the
think
same.
That Maserati is getting complacent right now? It might not be showing up right now, but it shows up 18 months later.
Right now, yeah. It's a different scenario, though, you know, because of the Felger factor. I mean, Glenn was a driving force there.
Yeah.
I mean, more than – it was brilliant because the show needed him.
Right.
The only thing that show needed was him. Maybe that's the case with Felger, too. I don't know. But
like when you wrote – so you
it's
wrote,
a different dynamic.
So you wrote right before Glenn went out. Obviously, somebody who was
– did I get a good man fired?
No, I'm just saying.
I mean, that was what, you know, I wish I had that kind of clout.
What?
That was Jerry always told mutual friends, you know, like Alan and Eric. You got a good man
fired. What I do think would happen, to be honest with you, Chaz, when you're critical of Glenn, there were people here at that time who
seized it.
Put a lot of stock in that.
Yeah.
And looked at it.
Who were they?
Who do you think it was?
Well,
guys like Jeff Brown and guys
he was
like,
here then?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He's a guy who fired Glenn.
Well,
and he looked at it and said,
I got to
okay,
look at
I
the
have
timeline.
Some, I have some ammunition. Put it this way. Do you think Glenn Orway should have been fired?
No, they probably should have bolstered the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Do you think that he was better than the guy they brought in after?
Everybody on Earth was better than that
so
guy.
I'm just saying. So,
but that's two separate things. Getting rid of one guy and bringing
but,
in.
But he looks at it. Brown looks at it and says, okay, here it is. Here's some concrete evidence I can get rid of this fucking guy. and you wrote it. And that's more – I think that's more of a Jeff Brown issue, but –
That
I would say
that Glenn should be fired?
For that year or so before, you were real critical of Glenn, real critical.
Yeah, I never called for him to be fired, though. There's one person I called for to be fired.
Sulk?
Yes.
Well.
And he was. I know you take credit for that, but I get a second to Darius assist on that.
Yeah, well, okay. That's fine. but before Glenn was fired too, you, and I don't blame you, should I report this if somebody handed it to me, you obviously had somebody who was at the
Which scoop is this?
The fucking the thing with all the people filling out the about the people at the station.
Oh, the poll. The
what's the there's a phrase. It's the
survey.
Survey. Sure, whatever it was.
Right.
So they filled it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you must have talked to somebody who filled out a survey who was in the room.
Three people
who were in the room.
If I remember correctly, yeah, it was three.
And I'm not at all.
I would have done it on one.
You would have.
No.
Two. You would have. Maybe.
Would have thought about
three.
It.
Okay, whatever.
Talk
I don't
to the
I don't blame you for that. That's a good story. But, like, it mattered to management here that the most negative reactions were for Jerry, John, and Glenn.
Is that a bad thing?
My argument would be is if they filled it out right now, today, they got together people. Who
it would
do you
be
think
you.
It would be me.
And would and they fire
be,
you?
It would be Jerry Callahan, right?
Would they fire you guys?
No, I don't think so, would they?
You know why Glenn lost his gig? Because he is a bad agent. What was the loophole? If I remember it off the top of my head,
it was top
three
four or something. I don't know.
Periods in the top three?
Something like that.
Why would the fuck would you sign a deal like that?
Because at the time.
Would you sign a deal like that?
No. I sign deals all the time, but I probably wouldn't.
That kind of fits into what I said about complacency, though.
Well, but what I would say is.
We're untouchable.
It's the old standby, but I think there's truth in it. If they had moved to FM, I'm not saying 98.5, maybe they'd still do great.
I had that scoop, too.
But 93, but moving from 850, you want to go in your car when you're done here? Put on 850. And see
I haven't done it since you got switched.
See what it sounds like. Maybe there's anybody else.
Yeah.
See what it sounds like. It's fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, what did Mike and Mike get, like a 0.8?
They got No. But a couple books ago, they got zero.
A zero?
A flat zero.
I think last time I looked, it was an 8.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
I can't imagine.
0.8.
Yeah, right.
It was like 23rd or something.
But if you're driving your car now and you listen to 850, it sounds like you're listening to tunnel radio. It's
right.
Unbelievable. I give they did as well as they did some of these books on 850 versus 98.5. Because I have a hard time listening to it. It's fucking sounded awful. Now, that's...
There's a weird signal, though. Like, I could get it up. And one of the things I did that set Dino off was saying... through the years, was saying driving through Bangor, Maine, saying, hey, I still listen to 850. I just tweeted that out. And he
would lose his mind?
He lost his – I don't know why.
Yeah.
I know why, but I don't know why.
Well, Dino is a complicated guy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book to be written about Dino by somebody. It's probably not going to be me because he'll have killed me by then. But somebody –
Is he going to kill me?
No, I think he's
– Well, I see him coming because you're gone.
Yeah, I think his anger has moved on. I don't know. He says he doesn't listen to the show anymore and he's complacent and happy in retirement.
Jerry's a great columnist.
Jerry's a great columnist. There's a whole level of palace intrigue.
He's got a nice golf swing.
He's a good chipper of the golf ball. He is. He's a good chipper of the golf ball. So you're gonna. so your stance is that you are not, Chad Finn, you are going to deny that you are not anti-EEI. Although you wrote.
No, not at all.
You wrote at your old stop before you got here, this sort of long manifesto about EEI.
No, that was OT.
That was at the Globe.
Yeah, that's how I got the gig.
It was this long manifesto about how you didn't like EEI and all the trouble at EEI and why this
well,
guy
no,
has,
it was
why this guy, by the way, why this guy has to go and why this guy has to go, although you said you never call for anybody to go. This guy has to go.
I didn't call for Glenn to go. That's what I said.
Okay, but it was this long. So you got the gig based on a long anti-EEI manifesto.
You know what?
Which is sort of an established bias in its own, isn't it?
What
was the point of the column?
The point of the column was, and I wrote this, in fact, I have a copy with me
if
you want me to sign one.
Sure,
because Eric Wilbur had one in his desk when he left. that if you guys had a legitimate challenger, that things would change. And that ran summer 2009, August 2009. Challenger comes up within 3 months. You got EI and the Sports Hub were running pretty equally, right? Within 6 months,
that might
something
be true.
Like that.
I don't know.
Surpassed it pretty quick, probably within a year.
Yeah.
But my points were, John's questions are really long. Mikey needs to get some new material.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn needs to stop having cronies on. But the gist of the column was that if you guys had competition, things would change. And you can say I was calling for people to get fired. I think I was Nostradamus on that.
But you would say it was kind of anti-EI, though.
it was that things needed to change. And so, that so, was, I my, mean, that my, was 7 years ago. My perspective changed.
But my point is you write that. And is that Joe Sullivan who hires you?
Well, I was already working at the Globe.
Well, who put you in the media spot?
Yeah, Joe.
So he says that. Yeah. Says, oh, based on this thing about how much you don't like EEI, we're going to make you our media.
No, there were other things, other factors.
Do you understand why I might think that they're saying, okay, we're going to put in the guy who wrote the thing that's negative about EEI.
Right.
So let's give him that position.
Yeah.
That I mean, he doesn't like EEI. I know Joe Sullivan doesn't like EEI.
It was that, I think part of it was, there was another thing I wrote about, OT was like a really short-lived print publication. I mean,
I don't remember. Oh, Doom yes. Yeah.
It was a tabloid.
Right.
Couldn't find it anywhere. Doom from the beginning.
Right.
But it was really fun to write for. Charlie Pierce wrote for it. Mm-hmm. Maz wrote for it. When we were coworkers.
Great writer.
Not my thing there. But there were a few things I wrote for it. You know, like Mike Gorman, something about the best announcers in Boston, that sort of thing. And right. Do you remember who my predecessor was on the media beat? Exactly. You don't.
Who was it?
Don't
Bill
give
Griffith?
Me Bill Griffith. No, he was retired. It was like
Was it really somebody full time in an interim
position? It was like Susan Bickelhaupt was doing it for the most part at the time.
I would never remember that.
Exactly.
I never remember.
They put
that.
Me in and suddenly it matters again, right?
Well, I guess. I don't know. But this is fun.
I feel like I'm winning a few rounds.
You dodged the question. Like, obviously, you know, I've dealt with the guy. Joe Sullivan does not like EEI.
I think that's fair to say. I mean,
so the guy who doesn't like EEI.
When did the issue happen?
Read with which one?
With me or with Borges?
Oh, wait. It was with Hideki
Arabu.
Yeah, it was
for both of us.
Yeah, Hideki Arabu.
But it was actually not Joe. It was Don Squar.
Right. But Joe Sullivan doesn't. I mean, we know that. Like you just said, we know he doesn't like us. So he reads that and then puts you in that position. So that's a guy who doesn't like EEI, reads something anti-EEI, and puts you in a position to cover the media.
Probably one of the best decisions he's ever made. Well, I mean, you guys get a lot of coverage in the paper.
But you don't see how we look at that and say, well, that's obviously bias.
Well, it didn't happen right after that, though. It happened.
Well, but you just said you got the job based on that.
It was a big part of it.
No, because you said you got it based on that.
And the, you know, a couple other things I wrote for as well.
But it was a big part.
Because I wrote some, yeah, that's what I just said.
Right. So then if you're us, what are we thinking?
Yeah. You're thinking, wow, I want to get this guy every time I can. And eight years in, you haven't been able to.
But I'm just saying.
I do a great job with it. You know what I really like is the fact that people here would feed stuff to the Herald if they could to prevent me from getting it. Like, you know, Dino wanted a rehab. Calls Buckley on his way over to Fenway, and Buck pulls over, and he's got that story, which I think people knew I was probably working on it at that point in time, what was going on with Dino.
Right.
And yet I still always get the stories.
So why didn't you report that?
What?
The Dino one.
I never nailed down. Yeah. I mean, he wouldn't talk to me. You know, your bosses can't talk to you about that sort of thing. But my point is, Jerry would love the Herald to have every news piece of information
But Jerry could give the Herald stuff.
That's right. But why do I get it before that happens?
Like when?
I mean, someone who knows, right? Who is that, Glenn?
When?
On anything.
With Gail Fee?
Yeah, whenever.
I don't know. You always say that. I don't know why you always say that. When I read, I see you tweet that. And when I read the someone who knows about the
it's either Glenn
Dino,
or Dino.
I thought it was John. I don't think that was really Glenn's mitts.
I think there are two someones who know, depending on what's going on.
I guess, yeah. That I don't know. But, what do you think is going to happen with our show? Well, let me ask you this.
Oh, wait. No, wait. One more thing.
Oh, go ahead.
In relation to all this thing, you know, bias against you guys or whatever, I like the station a hell of a lot more than I did back then. I mean, the morning show is different. John and Jerry went through a couple incarnations. They went through – felt like all they did was talk about politics.
Which I think is probably historically a little overblown.
Yeah, but then they went to the Jeff Brown demand where –
right.
They had their when'd you come on? February 2013, right? That's when all the shit hit the fan around here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he tells them to do that. That's when the ratings
tanked.
They had
the no politics, Kevin Winter, meter left era.
Which was 6 weeks of Kevin Winter were the high point.
Which was rough. It was not, I always say this because it's not fair to Kevin. It was not his fault
at all. You could tell at the beginning.
A miscast.
It was ESPNization, same thing with
there was a lot of weird shit going on there. Yeah. And I say when I walked in there, whatever, 3.5 years ago, I said this to Jerry in here last week, I walked into a show that was dead. I always joke around about saving it, but the show was dead just because Jeff Brown was there and they were going through the motions.
Have I written that you saved the show?
I don't know. Have you?
Probably about 10 times.
Yeah. Well,
I heard from Dino probably 11 times.
Yeah, he's probably not thrilled about it. I honestly say the ratings went up and that's great. But if they had put somebody else in who was okay, took the belt off those guys and let them go crazy and talk politics again, they'd still be on the air. I don't think they would have been out of their jobs. I think that's way overstating it.
Well, the contracts were coming up.
Yeah, they were
signing
different deals.
I mean, Jerry was serious enough, or I don't know, worried be the right word, but he's talking to the Globe about doing that RKO thing with Mike Sheehan, right?
No.
So, yes,
no,
that
no.
was real.
No, that was not
that
real.
Was real.
That was absolutely not real. Jerry was never going to go to RKO fucking ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well,
never was Jerry Callahan going to go to AM radio. Never. He wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to go. People always say that. Jerry was not. Do you report that?
No.
That is not true. I mean,
no.
I could tell you that is.
No, because I didn't have it.
Absolutely inaccurate.
Yeah, it wasn't. No one approached like somebody at the Globe to ask if Jerry would. They'd want Jerry as a sports columnist.
Who?
His friend Mike Sheehan, the publisher.
Did you think Jerry asked the Globe if he wanted to be a sports columnist? The last thing Jerry wants to do is fucking write a column.
I think there's a possibility. Yeah, that's a good
for
point.
The Globe,
I'll give you that.
No, I'm telling you that is inaccurate.
What
that
if it wasn't sports?
What told you, Andrew Mahoney tell you that? There's no chance. No, write a political call for the Globe. He does not want to do. He does not want to do that.
Might
no
have been thinking about options then, though.
I don't know. Yeah, that I don't know. I didn't know him that well when I walked in there. All I know is that Jeff Brown was in here and everybody was scared shitless. Mike Salk was on the air, and I do think the station would have been, if he had stuck around for another year, the station might have folded. I totally fucking believe that.
Country music. That's what I heard.
Country music. That's it. Hop Along Minahan.
You know, people used to think Jeff Brown gave me stuff. Like
I know people think that.
Yeah, he didn't. He treated me like he treated you guys.
Like an asshole?
Yeah, I got more out of Wolfie, and you know, Wolfie was. Not the most forthcoming guy usually, or what he would tell you wasn't always the truth. You know,
what is your daily listening habit? I mean, you got to listen to both stations, I'm guessing.
Well, you know where I live.
Yeah,
just south of your mansion.
Right. I can almost see it when I wake up in the morning.
You do. You need a telescope, right? Yeah.
Right.
A little
yes.
shanty out there.
I see the Zumba factory.
Yeah. I was just getting a pizza.
Yes.
So I drive down. I usually listen to you guys because you come in better.
Right.
Flip back and forth depending on who the guest is or what you're talking about.
Right.
But for the most part, I listen to you guys on the way in because I don't get 985 till maybe York.
Is it safe to say I don't listen to it all the time? But I hear when you're on the opposite show, like I'm sure Fred and
when I'm listening to it.
No. What I'm saying is I'm sure Fred Tutcher and Rich Chertenlieb and whoever's on that show hear that we suck all the time. So all I ever hear from people is that the other show sucks. You know, I listen to you. The other
hearing
show sucks.
You guys suck.
No. I'm saying people say to me, Touch and
Rich
suck. And they tell Touch and Rich, I'm sure that I suck and that whatever.
All right.
But when I hear that show now, and the thing I'm hearing from people is that it's not dissimilar to what you said about the Big Show or about other shows, that they are starting to get sort of stagnant. That
complacency.
Yes, there's a complacency now with that show.
Yeah. I think that was starting to turn that way during the summer, which surprised me because I think their ratings are better this summer than they were last summer and previous summer.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not this
right.
book that's
the one
know,
thing
out
that started,
next week.
The one thing I will say is that
I'd agree with that, though, and yeah. Walk's not a good fit.
Walk's not a good fit?
I don't think so, do you?
No, I don't.
It's better with Crash.
The one thing I would say is that when I started doing this, people would always say that summer ratings, they don't care about them, and I used to think that was an excuse. The truth is that it's just not that.
You guys
that,
cared when you won by a tenth of a point
we had 2004. It was a win. But we went crazy for an hour on Twitter. Like, a big, big picture. Summer book is not obviously fourth. I mean, this book is important.
Right.
I mean, this book is essential, I think, for both stations. I mean,
fall.
Yeah. The one we're in right now, I think, is huge. So midday's.
You guys going to get a combined 30?
The
it was
morning
27
shows.
Last
we did 27
fall.
Last fall.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. We'll see. I don't know. We have a new show, but I don't know. Maybe people will like it. Maybe they won't.
Would you guys have a 13-4?
Yeah, we were close. We were really close.
That's 14-6, something
right.
like that.
And if we had the Patriots,
that's unbelievable.
If we had Patriots games last fall, we would. I mean, that's a fact. We would beat
right.
them. I mean, that's just. I think they know it too. We'll see. I don't know.
Well, I'm curious to see summer for you guys because the Sox are good again. And
yeah, I think we'll do fine. I think we'll do okay. I mean, I'm not. I don't know. The other thing is, I will say our audience, Touch and Rich, do great. They have a younger audience. A lot of our audience in the summer is gone for 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks at a time. I mean, it's just a 45, 50
to Florida.
Yeah, well,
Miramar Lakes.
Well, they go up. I see a lot of them up in Maine. You know, there's some of that too.
Right.
Is vacation crowd.
Right.
But I don't know how they'll do. We have a new show. Maybe people will like it. Maybe they don't. We're trying to figure our way out here a few weeks in. We're having fun.
I appreciate you actually being upfront about the ratings, though.
What do you mean?
Well, the goalposts get moved. That was Dino's big thing. Yeah, but we're great from 35 to 64.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, we're number one.
But the reality is that men 25-54.
Is the ratings. Is the ratings book.
Right. Yeah, and you guys are on the upper end of that, and you know.
Well, 35-54.
You sell the Cadillacs.
35-54, we're as high rated a morning show as there is in America.
I believe that.
I mean, that's just
I don't see any other.
I mean, that's just, that's, I mean, you, well, I'm sure you look at other stations in other cities when they announce, you know, I follow some guy on Twitter who puts up all the different cities, and like the number one show in Houston in the morning will do like a 6-2.
Yeah. And you're thinking, is that Ted Johnson?
Yeah.
You bringing him in?
Yeah, yeah.
You got someone from Houston.
We'll have to have the lights off when Teddy Johnson's in here. But, we'll do – I'm looking at it thinking, we're doing fucking 13s.
Yeah.
We're doing – when people are, like, wondering what's wrong, we do 11s.
I acknowledge that every time I write about it, that the ratings are ridiculous for both sides. And that it couldn't happen in any market.
Which show do you like least on either station? I mean, you must
– Adam Jones? Does that
6A
count?
To 6P, no. He's dog shit. He doesn't count.
I don't know. I mean, it probably used to be Glenn, Lou, and Fourier, but I've come around on that. I think
that's
Lou is actually
show.
Lou now.
He is. He's great.
When he was with Mud, he wasn't what Wakefield is on the NESN broadcast,
no,
but it was the same sort of thing.
But that's a good midday show right now.
It is. Those two guys work well together.
I think that's a better midday show.
And Glenn drives, you know.
But clear, it seems to me
too much Kaepernick talk recently, though.
It seems to me that you listen to us a lot.
Yeah,
kind of both the midday shows, but it sounds like you listen to more Felger and Maz than Dale and Hall. Is that true?
No,
or not
that's
true?
Probably not true.
50-50?
No. I mean, I get out of the office at 5.
But are you listening during the day?
Yeah, I have it on sometimes. Depends on what's going on. When Silva worked there, he had it on all day.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get an hour of the midday shows. Yeah, I get everything from you guys for the most part. Maybe miss the first hour.
Do you get any – does John – Chaumessy told me John Henry has never contacted him once, not a note, nothing. I mean, you wrote about Orsillo. If you write that – you know, what do you – I'll ask you this before you answer that question.
Sure.
What do you think of the NESN programming that's not game programming?
Well, it's not good, but that's their design. I mean, I know people –
their design is to suck?
Yes, because internally their thinking is, why should we spend the money that Comcast spends on – Felger on 7 football shows, how many they have, to try to produce, you know, the one you're back on,
right?
To try to produce quality and staffing and paying people to actually come in to be guests, you know, a couple $100, whereas was it $75 on NESN,
yeah,
something like that,
yeah.
Because they argue that their ratings are essentially the same. So why should we do that? I mean, you think what NESN could do? They could do everything the Yes Network does.
Of course they could.
You could have
Red Soxography and right. Bruinsography.
Right.
Right. You could have Tom Caron host a show like Kay does with people in the audience easily.
Right.
But who's making that decision? Is that Warner?
I think it's McGrail.
It is?
I mean, it's tough to tell, but I think because that was sort of their mindset even before Warner was.
Warner's not hands-on?
He's hands-on. I mean, you were asking about John Henry. Ask your question there. I mean.
Well, you got a note from Warner?
No, what I've gotten is ignored by him. I mean, I buried them for the Orsillo thing.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
And
well, did Henry give you any shit for that?
No, but I tried and tried and tried to get Warner.
And he ignored you?
And he ignored me.
For
and you know it was panic over it, Nesson, with the way that went down.
Sure.
John Henry not seeing it coming and then trying to come up with plans, including having Don come work here to sort of save face a little bit.
Which was never going to happen.
He didn't want to sell ads. You know, he wasn't going to do that for $70,000 a year or whatever.
Well, he could be friends with Andrew Mahoney if he did that.
Yeah, well, probably
true.
He
would
have to defriend him on Facebook.
But what do you think of the job O'Brien's done this year? I've been really critical.
I've heard that.
Lifeless, like just your typical national guy. I'm surprised. I think there's more there. And he's, for some reason, I don't know if he's been Nessonized or what.
Yeah.
But he's almost been like the anti-Orsillo offense on purpose or not.
I think he was taken aback a little bit by how long the Orsillo backlash lasted. You know, it carried over into the season.
Yeah.
And I think it affected the way he called the game. He tried to be like Don a little bit. And you know, say what you will about Orsillo as a broadcaster, whether you like him or not, it came pretty effortlessly for him to seem
right.
like –
Definitely.
I mean, his demographic, or as I found out after all this hit the fan with Orsillo, his demographic is 65 and up, the people who are really pissed.
Well, it's kind of the Red Sox demographic. I hate to say it, but that's the passionate Red Sox crowd.
Yeah.
Is,
who are watching every
we're
night.
We're on the lower end of that age.
Yeah.
I'd say 40, to be generous, and up.
I heard from a lot of women named Beatrice about how Don was in
their
living room.
From
it was sad in a way.
Dottie and Maynard, who did want
right.
to hear Don again.
They felt like those guys were, I mean, it struck me, being the sensitive soul that I am,
right.
it struck me that they helped out a lot of lonely people. in a sense, that it was something they could rely on.
Isn't that kind of – that's the sense I get like when guys like Glenn leave or Dale left, or that's not dissimilar. It's three or 4 hours of your day. You could tell me. I don't know how much feedback.
You guys get those calls to some degree.
On Dino?
Well, no, just people who you can tell. They got nothing better to do than call and talk about the Red Sox.
Are you surprised that there wasn't more outrage about Dino leaving from listeners, or was there?
I agree with you guys. I should have written about it more, and I still probably will maybe after you guys make a hire.
I mean, that's about as biggest within our world as you're going to get.
And it's not just your world. I mean, he was a guy who was prominent in this market since 1977. And the son of a bitch, he hit it big both ways. The money
survived,
in TV,
man.
And the money in radio.
You know, look at the people he was on with. You know, I know Lynch is still on, but, you know, he wasn't.
Right, he's got him 90 seconds at
he's
most.
He's not relevant.
Yeah.
Lobel, God love him, is interviewing Charles Steinberg on his Legend show on the weekend.
I think Lynchy's relevant. I think he's probably the only one who really is.
I mean, is a new 5-6 o'clock news guy relevant anymore? He's great. Lynchy does a great job, but I wouldn't say that.
Maybe
relevant.
In a different way.
Not like when we were.
Like he could be Boston's master of ceremonies for anything.
Sure, but John hit both at the right time at their peak.
Yeah, absolutely.
And got out and survived. Somehow got through the fires and survived, so he deserves credit for that.
No, I want to write more about him. I think the week he actually left, because I reported that he's probably on his way out,
right.
And had the details as they worked out.
He wasn't happy about that.
He wasn't?
No, I'm asking you. Did he attack you on Twitter? Did he go crazy or no?
I don't think so.
No, he was all
right. I can't remember.
What would you do with the show if you're in?
I like the guy you had on today.
Giardi?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a little low energy today.
You two kind of dominated him a little bit today, the first time.
That can happen.
Pete, I love Pete.
Pete's in tomorrow. Well, Pete will be in on Thursday, so whenever the hell that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's kind of a wild card. I would like to see him back in the station, though.
Me too. There's a place for him.
In some sort of role.
Well, I've been clear on the record. I want 4 or 5 guys we like, and we're going to rotate them in. That's what I want to do.
That's not a bad solution.
Keep it disciplined. Keep it guys we like, girls we like, whoever it is. Whoever's good, we'll put them on.
So is that sort of a Big Show approach?
Reverse Big Show in a way.
Yeah.
It's one guy instead of two, and it's sort of the third guy, and we just bring him in. It's a different voice, and if you don't like Tangway, you're not going to hear him again for 3 days. If you don't like Mutt or Shepard or, I don't know, pick somebody from the other station. Or,
Mutt had a hard time keeping up when you guys.
He's been better, though.
The other day.
He's been better. Well, I think it's hard to walk in there. It's a different room.
He just yelled, "Print is dead," and that was the extent of
it's not the most friendly room. So, I can understand that.
Yeah.
But, I think that's what I'd like to do. I don't know. Who knows how that's going to work out? But it's.
Well, Phil, last time I talked to him about it, said they're hoping early October. That's coming up. You guys still got a lot of people coming in.
Unlike, on the phone?
Last time I asked about what was going on.
Early
there.
October, I don't think it seems to me very unlikely that's going to happen. We're bringing
Could you two just do it?
We probably could, but I like the third guy. I like the bouncing off somebody. I mean, listen, the guy who fits most naturally with us is Tangway.
Yeah.
But he can't do it every day. He just isn't mentally, he's not intellectually
mentally
capable.
A Comcast.
Both. I think it's probably a little bit of both, like we talked about. But, I know you've been critical of Tangway.
He's an easy
target, though.
I like him. I mean, you just turned him into what he is. He was
Tangway?
You did. You're the mastermind of the whole thing.
I gave him life. I gave him a second.
He's your little puppet.
Yeah, but he's great, though. We love him. We love him.
No, he's good at it, and it gets a reaction.
And the station right now is, I think, actually a pretty good place. Like, all the shows get along. Sometimes a little inter-show feuding, but everybody's okay for right now. And it's a rare moment of peace before another war.
Yeah, I haven't seen you fling shit at anybody since I've been in here.
No, it's a rare, odd moment. I don't know how it's going to end, but, and maybe you'll break some story.
Stable management? Is that what it is?
I don't know what it is.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but right now it's okay.
Yeah.
I could change. It probably will change in 3 months, and you'll be the first guy to write about it and write about how everything's great in 98.5.
Well, sure, if I'm around 3 months.
We're a disaster.
Never know.
That's true,
too. Never know how the industry goes.
So is your actual boss Linda Pizzuti-Henry?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I have a lot. I'm in a weird place.
With all her years and years and years of newspaper experience?
A couple of years, yeah.
I mean, why?
She's running Boston.com, and it's not going to be a news site anymore.
Other than the fact that she married John Henry, who owns it, how is she qualified for this job?
It's a question for her, isn't it?
Well, I've tried to get her on.
Have you really?
Yeah, of course. She hasn't come. She hasn't answered our requests yet.
Now, people in the building think she's really sharp.
I'm sure she's not a dummy, but does she know what she's doing?
We're going to find out.
Well, how long has she been doing this for? But she's in charge.
Doing what? I mean, just being involved with the place?
Who's in charge of the newspaper?
John Henry, and then, you know, Brian McGrory's the editor.
But I get the feeling that John
I don't Henry's, know what her role is.
John Henry's not spent a lot of day-to-day time on it.
No, Boston.com's her thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And is Boston.com still giving me, you know, quick headlines, boom, 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 boom?
No, your girl Hillary left.
That's true. She's gone. So it's not six stories about me anymore?
No.
Is it still?
I think it was five. Was it six?
It was all top five at the same time.
That was Aaron
time.
Andrews, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that guy is a fucking asshole. That what? Gary Zen?
He's one of my best friends.
Well, he's an asshole. He tried to get me. I talked to him on the phone. He absolutely tried to bring
you
me
called
down.
Him a dickhead the other day.
I did?
I love him. Yeah, he's a good guy. You like Jerry.
What?
You like Jerry. We all have our flaws.
Yeah, but Jerry's a great guy.
Joe's Gary.
But he, would you agree that Boston.com in that period would have been perfectly comfortable with me losing my job?
Yeah, but it was Hillary.
Okay.
She was driving
but,
it.
But he was wrote a bunch of
she's
stories.
She's got
too.
An audition here soon, doesn't she?
I don't think so, no.
No?
No. I talked to him on the phone at one point because he asked for a comment and he fucking totally turtled. And like, I'm like.
What was it? It was Aaron Andrews still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, they would have been comfortable with me getting fired. So if you're me, Chad, like for the rest of my life, should I ever forgive these fucking people?
No.
Would you?
No.
So then why can't I hate them?
But you're like, way more vindictive than I am. You are.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. It's what fuels me sometimes. But that was guys like DuPont and him and Sargent and all these people were like, we don't care if this fucking guy loses his job.
Yeah, but you guys hang out with Hillary, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh no. Was it you? No, Dino. Right?
Three times. Dino?
Didn't Dino go lunch with her? Oh, you and Jerry did.
We
Dino
did.
Didn't go.
But that was a...
He was preoccupied.
That was a management / your boy, the guy you mentioned earlier with Jerry, the Globe guy.
With Jerry.
Mike Sheehan.
Oh, Sheehan.
Yeah, they sat us all down. It was fine. She appalled, whatever. It was a waste of everybody's time.
Yeah.
But so...
She really likes you guys.
So she's in... So Linda Pizzuti's in charge of Boston.com.
Yes. I don't know actually.
How is Boston.com doing under her stewardship?
Well, it's changing.
Again?
Changing its what it is. Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a news site anymore.
What's it going to be?
Like pushing people toward the Globe.
Oh,
you know,
like
look right up to the Globe. It's going to be like promotional stuff, you know.
And what is the future of the Globe?
Go see Radio
good,
BBC.
Good, not good?
You always ask that question. I've been waiting for that one.
The mood of the Globe is?
It's tense. I mean... You know, I know you guys read the paper. How many bylines that used to be there aren't there anymore?
A lot.
And those are the ones you know.
Yes.
You know, Powers, Shearer, Amelie went to NHL Network, you know.
I know. I can't believe Shearer Springer's gone. I can barely wake up in the morning and open my eyes without her being
she
there.
Wrote the things that I wouldn't have wanted to write, so I respect that.
I guess.
Covered a couple Olympics with her, and she did all the work that I couldn't have possibly
done. I will miss
done.
John Powers, the Cathlete. Breakdown like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, but he's a great writer.
You need the Globe needs another writer.
You ever read John Powers Celtics books?
No.
You should.
No. I
70s.
I know. Ryan always tells him he's the best writer at the Globe.
I don't think he's ever had a typo in a story submitted.
He wears a whale belt, so that's fantastic.
No socks with loafers.
But the Globe needs what we talk about. The Globe needs a shitster. They need a guy in there right now. They
right.
need somebody who you say, okay, Barnacle was that guy, like him or didn't like him. I mean, you know, I'm not a big fan of his. For
Barnacle?
Yeah.
I just thought he was a flowery...
But people would read him, though.
Yeah.
People would say it's Barnacle's day. Will McDonough was the same way, obviously.
Right.
Dan's the same way. Ryan was the same way.
You can't have Will anymore because nobody's going to be playing.
No, nobody
in that
is.
Way.
But they need somebody like, you know... I mean, is Chris Gasper like that? Are you waking up in the morning and saying today's a Chris Gasper day?
I think he aspires to be more from the Bob Ryan mindset than the Shaughnessy.
Yeah, and I think sometimes he, you know, maybe should take a few more chances.
Yeah,
I mean,
fair
it's
to
a
say
big
that,
piece of real estate, and he should probably, you know, do something with it.
It is nice real estate.
I think he tries a little too hard to be impressive to people on Twitter.
To Twitter?
The crowd. I always call it the Twitter crowd, the attaboy
crowd. Cares
about the
Wright Twitter.
Thompson crowd, the fucking...
I mean, it's a question for him. I've never talked to him about this, but I think it's... Yeah, the Wright Thompson crowd, maybe, but you know, not the people who read Wright Thompson. It's more Wright Thompson.
But the people who, like...
William Roden.
The people who like said that Wright Thompson's story was great about Theo Epstein yesterday,
Theo looked like a dick.
A lot of those people though, like would have said that before they read it. Like it's like Gary Smith with Sports Illustrated. Everybody's
right.
like, oh, I can't, unbelievable piece.
Right.
It might be, it might not be, but they'll just say it because they feel like they're smart saying it.
Right.
There's that crowd on Twitter.
Yeah. But you know what? It's a lot easier to be a troll than it is to be someone who actually draws an equal readership by writing well and
who's
interestingly.
A troll? Forget Skip Bayless.
Troll's
that.
A bad word.
Like who? Like who's a writer?
But someone who's
like Dan?
A natural antagonist.
Like Dan.
Yeah, Dan's he's not a troll. He's an antagonist,
right.
though.
I think it's a lot harder to have a 35-year career like Dan has you know, to piss off people than it is to – you can be
well, you
an
know
under
why
the
that
radar
is?
Guy and make a living.
Because the vast majority of them, he ends up winning their respect. You know, you look at the guys he covered in the Red Sox 25 years ago. They, you know, they're all – Yaz, when Shaughnessy got the honor by the Hall of Fame, Yaz did a video with Stan Grossfeld talking about how much he appreciated Shaughnessy.
I wasn't a big fan of that.
But that's what eventually happens,
right,
where he's there, he becomes sort of part of the scene. Mm-hmm. You know, like that Brian Curtis thing he wrote where Shaughnessy acts like he owns Fenway?
Yeah, where he's drinking and drinking his wine like he always is at that – whatchamacallit at the
– He was?
Yeah.
I forgot that
Curtis
part.
Talks about it. Every time you walk by there, Shaughnessy's drinking.
Where
Joe
is
Sullivan
he?
Doesn't even care. You know, down at the it's where all the sweets are. It's the open bar there, whatever the hell it's called. That's
no,
how Curtis starts the story. He's drinking his white wine. Every time I go by there, I see Dan drinking that.
Huh.
But Sullivan doesn't care.
I guess not.
Joe Sullivan a good editor?
He's
an asshole. Is he a good editor?
He doesn't want to come out with you.
He's been an asshole to me.
He seemed like he was pretty straight about it, though, right?
Yeah,
he just said, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, no, he was kind of douchey about it.
Hmm.
And he's to me, he is like typical straight out of Globeat 101. Like, we're better We're better than you.
No.
We're ready for the Globe. Stay the fuck away from me.
Nah, he's the
most
low-key guy.
Yeah, you're a radio guy. Like, you're below me, that whole thing.
Nah, there's no arrogance to him. It's not. That's certainly an ingrained Globe thing, especially at higher levels. Some people have been there a long time, but...
like
it's
DuPont?
Not Joe. Joe looks like the most normal person you'd ever meet. He's a horse racing and
college basketball
guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty salt of the earth person.
Time to go away. What do we got? What do we got on Friday?
See if Jess Mendoza's available.
What do you got?
If not her, Michelle Tafoya. I don't know.
Let's
see if Brady's called Toucher and Rich this week.
That's another thing, man.
Yeah, I usually figure it out on Wednesday.
That's another thing. It kind of pissed us off. That's like a lot of these people treated that story like it was real. Like it was basically essentially a free advertisement for Toucher and Rich. Like,
how many times have I written about them?
Who?
Toucher and Rich.
I don't know. 27.
No.
How would I know?
Well,
in your life? I'm sure a lot.
You overbid. It's probably taking just ratings posts out of it, which I place pretty straightforward.
Right.
Right? There's no opinion in those.
Okay.
That might be the only reference in the last year or
so. My point is, it's not even. I know the Globe wrote about it. I don't think you did. I think somebody else did that day.
What's that?
There
was a separate. Your friend Gary Zen.
That's who it was.
Yeah,
he treated it like it was real.
Like, yeah, he called Shirt and Lieb, right?
Yeah, he must know that wasn't Tom Brady.
I did.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way he didn't know that. Fred and Rich know that wasn't Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, why are you treating it like it's a real story?
I had a note on it where
I saw that
it was basically about it wasn't Tom Brady.
You said
Brady.
It wasn't Tom Brady.
Yeah,
that's fine. Right. It was
right.
More likely Bledsoe or something. You said would play. Or I forget.
He's
you
come
some...
back and win back his job.
Yeah.
Good line.
So
yeah.
Like obviously, why
kicker
were
to finish
why were
with.
Other people treating this like it was actual news?
I don't know.
But essentially an advertisement. And like you know, we have Brady on and pay him, and it's like well
we write about it. We just don't mention you.
What do you mean?
When Brady comes
that's
on.
True. That's a good point. Yeah. Is Andrew Mahoney not going to, you know, the station?
You
it's always amazing to me.
Hmm? You can call him Andy.
I don't think I'm ever going to talk to Andy Mahoney, whose feelings were hurt because
they were.
Kirk Minahan and Jerry Callahan accurately pointed out that he's a biased fuckwad
who
tried to purposely toy with us. You know that's true. And it worked. It pissed us off.
No, he didn't.
He won.
Not
he
a fuckwad.
Huh?
Not a fuckwad.
Kind of an asshole. So what are you writing about Friday?
Good guy. I'll figure it out today. Usually figure it out on
Wednesday. That's
Wednesdays.
When you do it Wednesday?
Generally, unless there's something really obvious. Yeah. You guys going to hire somebody?
For what?
To sit with you and Jerry for 4 hours a day.
I don't see anybody yet who can do it every single
ratings
day.
Ratings next week, right? 27th.
For the summer?
That's when I get them.
Yeah, we get them. I think we get them next week. And then the fall book, which is huge. I think it's going to be, for both stations, I would guess, between the Red Sox and the Patriots. And
I want to see
election.
A 30.
Between the
two
morning
guys,
shows?
Yeah.
That's listen, Lauren and Wally are still around, man. There's only so much we can take. There's still, you know.
Yeah, the rock stations do all right.
They do great.
Summer, it carries over a little bit.
Yeah, well, they do
fall.
Great in the summer. I think we'll do fine. I think both stations are, I'm sure, will do well, and you'll report on both numbers, and Joe Sullivan will say, hey, can you a little 98.5.
You're so good at this.
Give it a little 98.5 tweak.
Yeah.
Do you think Joe Sullivan like goes to bed at night and just rubs that old manifesto you wrote like all over himself and goes to sleep?
No, I do that.
Do you?
Got a great gig out of it.
You don't see the inherent bias right there.
I was right about everything.
That eludes you though. Forget. You could be right about everything. I don't want to. Again.
No, take the could out. I was.
Again.
Do you remember what happened that day when I wrote about it?
No. How long ago was that?
2008. That was the first time I ever met you or heard from you. You wrote in your little mailbag or your notes or whatever. Yeah. People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, Chad Finn.
I did?
Yeah.
Even that. I was a good writer.
You're a good writer.
I should write.
You had an impact.
You know what it takes, though? Time. It's a blank piece of paper.
Tell me about it. I got to do it every day.
You should go on the radio. It's much easier.
Yeah, but, you know, I get the media thing, and for the most part, I...
Do you go on radio shows outside the market?
Yeah, it's my personal policy.
Yeah.
I might change that, though. I got to look out for myself.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Because, you know, I get accused of bias enough without going on
one. Put you on. They probably already hired you.
You know, I've never done anything over there. However, I've done 3 podcasts here.
With who else?
Sam Packard. I think he's in the running for your morning show. Right?
Okay. And who else?
Alex Speer.
Okay. So this is essentially your first podcast that will be listened to.
Hey, the one I did.
How was Alex doing at the Globe?
Good, I guess.
He is a fucking John Henry wet dream.
Yeah.
He loves Alex.
He's
he loves
guy.
Alex. Yeah. I love Alex too, but he loves Alex. I feel like Alex would be underutilized.
I love Alex too.
Underutilized at the Globe.
How would you use him?
I would first of all have him send out some weird.
The newsletter?
In the middle of the day. That's a waste of time.
I'm surprised it comes
out later. In 2016, that's a waste of time.
Yeah. It's got to hit noon.
And I feel like Remy wants to kill him when he's on the Nessun. Remy gives him weird looks.
Remy gives everybody weird looks.
That's true. Would you heard anything about that? Will Remy be back next year?
I've heard it's better. I don't know what happened.
So they're going to have like 4 guys next year? Just rotating?
No, I just heard whispers that maybe their perception of lines has changed a little bit in-house.
Do they like him more or less?
Less. I mean, they thought they were getting a jackpot when they
hired
him.
Lyons. Like, he's a nice guy, but like, I mean, it's pretty obvious what you've got.
He comes with a little baggage, I guess. And Nesson's attitude when they hired him was, 1, he's our guy, he's our hire. 2, national profile. 3, willing to work cheap because he lost a Dodgers gig.
Right.
And, you know, that's 3 things they really like. We hired him.
Right.
People know who he is and not a lot of money. But from what I've heard, I think it's shifted a little bit and that Remy's maybe back in more good graces. Of course, I heard that before he was gone for 15 days or whatever it was on that road trip.
They do things very odd.
They were trying to avoid Dio.
That's true.
Reunion.
All right, let's wrap it up. So you will claim that you have never in your life held back on anti-Boston Globe stuff from guys on the radio.
I will claim anti-Boston Globe
stuff. No, but that if it's a Maserati you worked with or a Gasper, whomever, that you would be very comfortable ripping their radio
performance. Yeah, Mazahel guy. Gasper is a weekend guy.
When you worked with them. No. That's not the question. As coworkers, would you be willing to be critical of them on the radio?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
But you just never were when you work with them.
Well, it's a minor thing. Nobody has a 4-hour, 20-hour show like you do. I mean, it's filling stuff, and I'm generally writing about the prime time stuff or TV or, an interview or something like that.
And
I suppose I could put a note in.
And you're pissed about Andrew Mahoney, but you really haven't articulated why. Oh, because he's a quiet behind-the-scenes guy.
Yeah, you turned on a guy you didn't know.
And then the other question, oversight.
Because
it was in the mailbag, is somebody...
Mailbag?
No, the Friday thing. I'm sorry.
It did last in mailbag last time you did.
The chat, yeah, 2010. The chat was that somebody said about how Jerry...
You guys all hang on that, by the way.
No, I do what everybody in the media does. They do an F5, whatever it is, and you write your name in.
What's an F5?
Whatever it is. You search.
Oh, in the chat?
Yeah.
You don't like all the John Farrell questions?
No. And by the way, nobody wants to read about the fucking, you know, the war of whoever. Just answer media stuff.
Nah.
Just for my own sake.
No way, man. I get great traffic.
Problem is, if I do a search of my name, it's just like, you know, it blows up. It takes forever to get
and
through.
And it's always spelled wrong.
Right. It really, I don't know.
They get my name right.
That's a little frustrating. Somebody wrote a question, posed a question about how, you know, they only like the show when we're talking sports, we're not racist and misogynistic and whatever. And you said you'll leave that without a comment.
Yeah.
Which to me is an implication that you're saying that's who.
Did they say misogynistic?
I think they did. The implication is that either Jerry or I are racist. I mean, that's without comments, they're saying, listen.
Yeah, I'm complicit. Yeah, that was a dumb answer.
I mean,
you think
Jerry Callahan is a racist, really?
Ooh.
You know people who know Jerry. I know Jerry.
No, I don't think. I think.
So do you think I'm a racist then?
Yes.
Okay,
I
no,
do.
But I'm serious.
I think you're really glad that Brady and Bledsoe have been the quarterbacks the last 25 years.
That is good. But why would you answer a question like that?
Yeah, I don't know. Zipping through them, I guess.
Let me see.
Yeah, that's not good.
Wish there was a way to alert me when Jerry and Kirk returned to sports after multiple segments of bigotry, vitriol, and Clinton bashing.
Yeah, oh yeah, see, the Clinton...
Well, Clinton bashing is fine.
The Trump stuff I don't like.
Bigotry? And you
said,
I'll leave that without comment. Take that one back.
I'll take that one back.
Okay, so
but you have to admit Andy Mahoney's a good guy, and you're mean to him.
I would never admit that. Why would I ever like that guy? If you're me, honestly,
you have to admit that you guys hang on every word I write.
Every word. I got to be honest. When you're talking to Michelle Tafoya or the new.
Oh, I did the women broadcasters thing.
Leave that to my guy Deitch.
Sometimes things are asked for. He was good, by the way.
He was good.
Yeah.
He was good for...
Still New York to him.
No, but he was good. He's got a good attitude.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a good attitude. He did a good job. A lot of the guys have done a good job.
Hmm? So do I.
Well, you want to come on with me and Jerry one day?
I'd come on with you guys.
You would come on? So you're...
I would have to clear it with Linda Henry.
It's never going to happen. We have a better chance of Aaron Andrews coming on.
No, I think it's possible.
I'll check that with Jerry. I'm sure Jerry would love to do
circumstances that. Circumstances are... I'd want to come in, though. I don't like doing the phone thing.
No. Yeah, no, we don't.
Because you can tell, you know, like, I miss you guys on Nesson because you can kind of get a sense for how things are. Like you see Maz and Felger. You said they don't laugh. They actually do laugh. It's not funny stuff, but Maz, every time he makes a comment.
So you're admitting that also that Tucker and Rich are a little stale and that Maserati has sort of gone into this idiocy character.
I think Tucker and Rich have been better lately. It felt like over the summer, maybe even going back beyond that, that they'd hit a little rut. That show is dependent on two personalities more than any in this market.
But Maserati is a buffoon.
Maserati's not my thing. Okay. Never has been.
All right.
Did work with him for a year, though, after 40 years at the Herald working with Jerry.
He was there for like 10 years at the Herald.
Nah,
but you never
wrote
anything negative about Maserati when he was at the Globe. You'd admit that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can,
it was a very small stretch.
It was a year.
Had nothing to do with it either way.
So you never pressured by the Globe. You never stayed the Globe. Nobody at the Globe has ever said to you.
No, I've pretty much free reigned. I mean, sometimes they'll suggest things I should write about, like the Michelle Tafoya thing. They wanted me to do sideline reporters.
Why?
Thought it was a good story.
Was it?
I got a lot of buzz. Richard Deitch liked it.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. All right, that's Chad Finn of the Globe. I'm sure we're going to play plenty of this on the Kirk and Callahan show coming up. And that's it. Anything else, Chad?
No, this was good. You're such a nice guy.
I tried.
You remind me of Andrew Mahoney.
All right, I'll see you later. All right, thanks as always for listening to the Enough About Me podcast. If you want more podcasts like this with guests like Artie Lang, who else is going to have Artie Lang and fucking Bob Ryan on the same podcast, or David Portnoy and John Tomasi? If you want to listen to podcasts like this, you go to iTunes, Stitcher, you go to WEI.com, you go to the mobile app. When you go to iTunes, leave a rating, leave a review, and subscribe. That's going to help us out a lot. If you want more of these, leave a rating, leave a review, and subscribe. Make sure you do that for me. That is a command. Now do it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.